live from the Poly Market Studio in L.A. It's the Young Turks.
Hey guys, you've heard of the Young Turks podcast because you're listening to it right now. But make sure that you subscribe and give it a 5-star rating if you like it. Thank you for listening. All right, welcome to the Young Turks. Jake Uecker, Anna Kasparian with you guys. And tonight it'll be a story of fire and ice. We will have fun, as you'll see in the first story that we do.
I'm worried that there's gonna be too much fun.
Yeah, I'm worried we're gonna get tired of all the fun we're having and all the winning we're doing on tonight's show.
I think my core strength is gonna be tested today. There might be some,
okay, let's see what happens. Let's see. Anna, I never doubt your core strength.
Well, thank you.
Okay.
Thanks.
The nickname for your core is hashtag too strong.
I mean, my orthopedic doctor would say the opposite. Based on my back pain, okay. But I'll take that compliment. Thank you.
Okay, so but later in the program, anger and fire. Mm-hmm. Okay, so Dana Milbank at the Washington Post has written a preposterous article comparing Bernie Sanders to Donald Trump, and we will let it rip. But most importantly, we'll break down logically why he's completely wrong and why he represents the establishment. He really does. It was a clinic in what Washington media thinks. I told you they can't stand Bernie Sanders, and you know he says he's like Trump. But the reality is, as I've told you for a long time, and Donnie Deutsch slipped up on air just a couple of weeks ago and said it, they actually prefer Trump to Bernie Sanders. So we'll get to that story. On tonight's conversation, the third hour of the Young Turks, we're going to re-air the Tulsi Gabbard interview for you guys in case some of you missed it. I want to make sure that you all get to see it. And then on tomorrow's conversation, Glenn Greenwald. Now, Glenn and I agree on many things, including our disdain for Dana Milbank's article, which we both vociferously tweeted about today. But we did not agree on Russia. We are going to discuss some of that disagreement tomorrow on the program, so you don't want to miss that. That's going to be the third hour. And of course, tyt.com/live. Okay, so now let's start with fun.
All right. Yesterday, we spoke about Jacob Wall and Surefire Intelligence and how it appears, based on reporting and an investigation by TYT Investigates, that the FBI is in fact looking into the false allegations that Jacob Wall had made about Robert Mueller allegedly carrying out sexual misconduct against women who he had allegedly paid $20,000 to, or attempted to pay $20,000 to, so those women could lie in sworn affidavits about how they had been sexually assaulted by Robert Mueller. Anyway, that's a downer part of the story because that was, of course, all debunked. But as we were covering that, Ken Klippenstein, who is our TYT Investigates reporter, reached out to me with something I hadn't seen before. And it is an image of someone who was apparently hired by Jacob Wall to be his security person. Let's just take a look at the tweet, okay.
This is during CPAC.
This is during CPAC, yeah. Jacob Wall is giving his CPAC presser while flanked by a tiny security guard with a single AirPod in his ear. I died. It was so good. It's so, like, I want Jacob Wall stories to continue because it gives me a little bit of comic relief. You know, especially with all the depressing stuff that we cover on a daily basis. And Jake, I'm not gonna let you jump in yet because we have video and we gotta go to the video first. Let's take a look.
And doesn't formalize the divorce to her brother until 2017.
And one of the most egregious parts about this, right, are these details that you're hearing about her saying that she was going to divorce him and that he moved back to the UK and that she remarried her cultural husband, whatever that means. This was all available to the media.
Okay. No. All right. The fact that he's tiny is fascinating. Okay.
I don't even care about the fact that he's tiny.
No.
He's a fake security guy, and he's wearing like these dark glasses. He's like, okay, yeah. All right. So, rule number one of being a security guy: gotta have the dark glasses. Set. Got it. Good. I don't have a professional earpiece, so let me just put an Apple AirPod in my ear. That'll pass, right? No one's gonna notice. It's the best. Jacob Wall is the funniest person who's ever lived.
Okay, now mind you, okay, I can't stop. Okay, we'll get back to Jacob in a second.
Rule Eric, number three, must have serious expression at all times.
Okay, here's what I only thing I have to say, because apparently it's the only thing I'm allowed to say. AirPod. Hashtag AirPod.
Pod save America.
Or maybe AirPod save wool. Okay. The dude put an AirPod in his ear, and Jacob and him probably looked at him and were like, yeah, looks good. Yep. And that's what Secret Service or security guards look like. They have AirPods that go nowhere.
I don't know what you're talking about, Jake. Look, he wasn't trying to make him seem like a security guard, okay? It was just a figure of speech. That's all that was.
That's like one of my favorite things ever. You said you have an honorary degree from Harvard. Well, that was a figure of speech.
That's it. That's all I had. I wanted to start off on a fun note.
I want to know what he was listening to. I'm holding out for a hero.
What is that song?
Bonnie Tyler, what are you talking about? Holding out for a hero.
I don't know what that is.
Okay, so look, I just want to remind you guys, yes, it's amusing what a clown this right-wing idiot is. But he has accused people of very serious crimes and gotten a lot of attention. So in the Mueller case, no one took him seriously, and he did a press conference with someone who he said was going to be a star witness, who of course did not show up, and the list goes on and on. But he did target Avenatti apparently in a way that got a ton of press attention, and arguably ruined Avenatti's reputation before it was legitimately ruined by his own actual investigations that they launched on Avenatti on legitimate stuff. And so it's like, funny, but at the same time, don't get us wrong. I mean, like, these guys are dangerous, mm-hmm. and they are appear to be breaking several laws. And I hope his next act comes from San Quentin.
Yeah, I mean, he's so dangerous. He's got to have security guards with him to watch his. But no, look, you're absolutely right. But I mean, how? His mom's got to have a good talking with him. You know, like, his mom's got to sit him down and be like, listen, son, I'm not going to let you stay in our basement anymore if you're going to keep committing crimes from our home. Like, you can't do that.
Meanwhile, the guy, the little guy, is behind Wall the whole time. Like, while he's talking to his mom. And he's like, okay, hold on. We got a situation with mommy. That'll be the next TYT Investigate story, when we find out that not only is the FBI investigating Jacob Wall, but so is his mom.
All right. We got to move on to stuff that matters. Stuff that's happened recently in news. All right. Donald Trump has completely changed his tune on replacing the Affordable Care Act with Republican legislation. And this was, of course, after he had a talking to with or by Senator Mitch McConnell. And now he's saying that he never intended to vote on the Affordable Care Act's replacement before the 2020 election. And actually, he's not completely lying. So I'm going to get to that in just a second.
Well, that's breaking news. Donald Trump in a situation where he's not completely lying.
It's an anomaly, but I'll point that out in just a second. So he just recently tweeted, I was never planning to vote prior to the 2020 election on the wonderful healthcare package that some very talented people are now developing for me and the Republican Party. Okay, so hold for a second. No one is writing legislation to replace the Affordable Care Act. Now, there are some Republican senators who are thinking about tinkering with the current system, maybe some proposals on how to lower drug prices. However, no one has a robust plan or is working on a robust plan to replace the Affordable Care Act.
Yeah, I just want to say on that note, they keep saying, and Trump keeps saying, we're for covering people with pre-existing condition, and we're going to lower drug. We got four talented senators working on lowering prescription drug prices. They never actually do any of those things. That's very, very important to note. All they do is talk about it. But in reality, every single Republican voted against the Affordable Care Act which protected people with pre-existing conditions. They all voted against it. So when they tell you that they're working on that, it's a hilarious lie and also a dangerous lie. And
right.
And you had all the chance in the world to lower drug prices. The guy who said we couldn't negotiate drug prices was George W. Bush, a Republican president. So they've not only not done what they say they're going to do, they've done the opposite for the last decade.
That's exactly right. And so, look, the one thing that I will point to is he mentions, I never intended to vote on healthcare legislation prior to the 2020 election. And he's actually right about that. So if you go back and look at his tweets from yesterday, he specifically said, Republicans are gonna have a great healthcare plan after the 2020 election. And so we had a little bit of a debate about this, whether or not it was a strategy to convince people, hey, if you vote for us and if you help us take back the House of Representatives and we have control of Congress, we're going to have a great replacement for the Affordable Care Act. I thought that it might be part of his strategy, and it is what he said yesterday. So he's not lying about that, but he is lying about something else. So he claims that he did not change his mind on the Affordable Care Act after speaking with Mitch McConnell. And I want to give you that statement right now. Take a look.
Did Mitch McConnell ask you to delay this?
No, I wanted to delay it myself. I want to put it after the election because we don't have the House. So even though the health care is good, really good, it's much better than when the plan comes out, which we'll be showing you at the appropriate time. It's much better than Obamacare. So when the plan comes out, you'll see it.
By the way, you've been president for well over 2 years now. And you already trying to repeal the Affordable Care Act, the famous John McCain no vote. So you still don't have a plan.
No, they don't.
You say you won't have a plan for another 2 years, but that when you finally have it, it'll be secret. Nobody will be allowed to see it, but you'll run the election based on that and it'll be magical. It'll lower all prices, cover everybody, and still look out for all of your insurance company and drug company donors.
And,
sure.
And remember, there are two issues at hand. They're related, but there are two issues. So issue number one is what the Trump administration is attempting to do with repealing the Affordable Care Act through the courts. And then there is the legislative angle to this story, and that has to do with legislation that's supposed to replace the Affordable Care Act. And so my understanding is that yes, Trump and the Department of Justice under his administration is still trying to appeal to federal judges in order to completely repeal the Affordable Care Act, in order to find it unconstitutional, the entire law unconstitutional. So look, whether or not Republicans come up with a replacement now or after the election doesn't really matter. What really matters is whether or not the Affordable Care Act is going to get repealed through the courts. And for those who are progressives like us who are like, I don't really like the Affordable Care Act, why are we fighting to keep it? I hear you, but right now, that's all we have. And that has important protections for people with pre-existing conditions, for young people who are still under their parents' insurance. We need to keep that in place until we have a real leader in office who will fight for Medicare for All.
Yeah, so Donald Trump lies even more. I mean, he constantly talks about it in his tweets about, we're going to protect people with pre-existing condition. But it's an absolute stone cold fact that in the court system, they are saying that they would take away protections for people with pre-existing conditions. I mean, he was in favor of that even before they put out the new memo saying that they want to repeal the Affordable Care Act entirely and call it totally unconstitutional. So there's 0% truth in that. He would take that away. If he wins the case, people with pre-existing conditions, 52 million of you can be denied tomorrow. And it is because of Donald Trump, no question about it. And every Republican is backing him. So any Republican telling you otherwise is wrong. And furthermore, this is why I get frustrated with the press. And sometimes when Donald Trump says outlandish things that wind causes cancer, they'll, you know, smirk and they'll say, by the way, small footnote, wind does not cause cancer, right?
No, but to be fair, there were pretty robust rebuttals against that.
I hear you.
So let's
But this is substance and this is policy and this is more important. Mm-hmm. So every time a Republican says that they're for protecting people with pre-existing conditions, you should ask them several questions. Number one, didn't you vote against that? Didn't you vote to get rid of Obamacare, what, 72 times, however many times you voted against it? So every time you voted to take away pre-existing conditions, didn't you, in the initial vote on the Affordable Care Act, vehemently fight Obama and the Democrats on that? And at the time, you didn't even bother pretending that you were in favor of caring for about pre-existing conditions. You said, we should not cover them. We should not cover them. You all said that. Now, they don't have to pound the table as they do it, but every reporter should ask every Republican. Otherwise, you're being negligent. You're letting them lie to your audience and just transcribing their lies. They have always been opposed to it. They have never had a plan that would cover it. And that's because they care about their donors and not about the voters. And that's just, it's just a fact. Yeah. The court papers are a fact and the Republican votes are a fact. And they make it seem as if it's 50-50. Oh, we'll have to see what the Republican plan is. We know what the Republican plan is. Nothing, nothing.
So despite anyone's perception of how the media has handled the healthcare story, the fact of the matter is, healthcare was a winning issue for Democrats during the midterms, which is the main reason why Republicans were blindsided by Trump completely shifting his focus from, honestly, a win over the Russia investigation to healthcare, which is a losing issue for Republicans. They were blindsided, and that was the reason why Mitch McConnell pulled him aside and said, yo, we are not gonna vote on any type of healthcare legislation in the Senate, so shut it. And after that, he did change his tune.
Yeah, so him now saying, oh no, it was my decision. Now look, Mitch McConnell not only came in and talked to you, but afterwards said, now the president no longer holds that position. And he's like, oh, New York Times got the story wrong. Maggie Haberman tweeted, all we did was quote Mitch McConnell. It's a direct quote. And so if anyone is lying at all, it's either Donald Trump or Mitch McConnell, and you guys should make up your minds about who's who, right? Mm-hmm. And then finally, I'm looking for an apology to President Obama for all the Republicans who at the time absolutely insisted that covering pre-existing conditions was no big deal and that we should not do that. Now, if you're pretending that you care about that issue, then you should at least come out and say, oh, we're sorry, it was our mistake in opposing President Obama. He was absolutely right that we should have been covering pre-existing conditions. Mm-hmm. We should have made insurance companies cover pre-existing conditions. So are you ready to apologize? Are you ready to concede that you were wrong? No, no, you want the best of all worlds. Oh man, I can't wait to repeal that goddamn thing. I love what's in it. I love it. I love covering pre-existing conditions. I've always been in favor of pre-existing. No, you haven't. No, you haven't. You're a total liar. The only reason why the whole country doesn't know that the Republican Party lies systematically on every issue, every time, is because the mainstream media covers their ass. And they call everything 50-50.
One other thing I want to add, just in response to what you said, is healthcare and the Affordable Care Act is a good case study for politics in America. Because it started off with someone who identified himself as a strong leader who's gonna fight for progressive values, in the very least a public option when it comes to his healthcare legislation. But instead, it was one giant concession, let's keep it real, to the private industry, health insurance industry, and also to Republicans. This was a Heritage Foundation policy that was adopted by Mitt Romney in Massachusetts. And so I only bring that up because, yes, I agree that Obama, I guess, deserves an apology because pre-existing conditions are important in terms of whether or not people get covered. They should get covered for it. But more importantly, and I know hindsight is 2020 and maybe it doesn't even mean anything right now, I want the Democratic Party to learn something from the failures of the Obama administration on this issue.
Because
I know they won't, but I'm just gonna say it anyway. Because even though he gave that giant concession to Republicans, look what they did. You think that they were supportive of it? Of course they weren't.
They tried all to repeal voted
it.
No.
Over and over again, they tried to repeal it. And still, till this day, they're trying to appeal it. So my point is, for the Democratic Party, look, I don't think that it's necessarily a bad thing if you're trying to work with Republicans, if it were 1994, right? But it's not. We're in 2019, Republicans have shown us time and time again that they have no interest in working with us, and everything is politics. You look at the polling, you look at how the same poll respondents rated the Affordable Care Act as high, like highly rated. And then once you name it Obamacare, low, right? And it's because of the insane marketing strategy that the Republican Party successfully carried out.
Well, look, I gotta go back to the mainstream media. They are the Republican Party's best friend. They helped them in every turn. Now, Saddam Hussein did not attack us on 9/11, but 70% of Americans thought he did. Why? Because the Republicans lied about it, the Democrats didn't say anything, and reporters are like, hey, we're stenographers. Well, Republicans say this, Democrats say this. Me actually find out the truth and tell you? No way. Republicans say they have a great healthcare plan, they don't even have one, but I'll call it 50-50. They all were against pre-existing conditions, now they say they are. I'll call it 50-50, even though it's an obvious lie. It's an obvious lie. And then people can't tell what's what. Why? Because the media constantly does political correctness and lies on behalf of the Republican Party. So Dana Milbank did it today.
We'll get to it later.
No, I know, but he comes out and he's like, Bernie Sanders is like Trump, because he won't concede to the Republicans like Biden and Beto will. They're so good at conceding to Republicans. Why? First of all, you're in the media. Why do you care what strategy they have? You care because you're like, now Democrats, remember, all the Washington media is gonna tell you, you must bow your head to the Republicans. And no matter how extreme they are, you must concede and go half the way, then half the way, then half the way until you're all the way next to Genghis Khan. Mm-hmm. So sorry, Dana Milbank, sorry, Washington media, we do not agree. I believe that the Democratic Party should be opposed to the Republican Party. And it's amazing that that simple concept is considered radical in Washington.
When we come back from the break, we will talk about Fruit of the Loom.
We need to talk about a relatively new show called the Republic, or UNFTR. As a Young Turks fan, you already know that the government, the media, and corporations are constantly peddling lies that serve the interests of the rich and powerful. But now there's a podcast dedicated to unraveling those lies, debunking the conventional wisdom. In each episode of the Republic, or UNFTR, the host delves into a different historical episode or topic that's generally misunderstood or purposely obfuscated by the so-called powers that be. Featuring in-depth research, razor-sharp commentary, and just the right amount of vulgarity, the UNFTR podcast takes a sledgehammer to what you thought you knew about some of the nation's most sacred historical cows. But don't just take my word for it. The New York Times described UNFTR as consistently compelling and educational, aiming to challenge conventional wisdom and upend the historical narratives that were taught in school. For as the great philosopher Yoda once put it, you must unlearn what you have learned. And that's true whether you're in Jedi training or you're uprooting and exposing all the propaganda and disinformation you've been fed over the course of your lifetime. So search for UNFDR in your podcast app today and get ready to get informed, angered, and entertained all at the same time.
All right, back on the Young Turks, lots of comments, some controversy in some of them. Chris Red 18 writes in the member section, quite frankly, Tulsi is far to the right on a lot of issues and has had atrocious votes in the past. Her supporters are pretty much a combination of Clinton and Trump supporters in their vitriol, particularly when dealing with Anna, because she has pointed out those votes. Okay, I'm not gonna get into that issue. Watch the interview for yourself. It's in the third hour of today's show. And then have at it, Hoss, in the comment section. Okay? Cloyd says, hello, TYT. You got yourself another fan today. My 11-year-old daughter and I watched a couple of episodes of Damage Report. And we had a talk about racism in the Republican Party and why both are bad. It was in regards to DeVos rolling back Obama initiatives to protect black children from being overpunished in public schools. So great, awesome, thank you. Gabby Marita says Jacob Wall has an honorary security guard. That's very funny. Turk Yoda says, I love the way the bodyguard moved into the camera shot, so he was right in the center. Talk about photobombed. Totally, 100%. Okay, and then finally, and I know it's too much. Pezosaurus writes in, they don't have a healthcare plan because Obama implemented their plan. That is unfortunately literally correct. It was, as Anna pointed out in the last segment, a Heritage Foundation plan and Mitt Romney's plan that Obama implemented. Okay. Let's go forward.
All right. If you are a student of journalism, political science, or communications, you can get a one-year membership here at TYT free for you, because our audience, our awesome audience members actually purchased membership for students. So if you want to check it out, it's very easy to do so. You just go to student@tyt.com. You email student@tyt.com, and there will be some sort of verification process to confirm that you're a student, and then you will get access to TYT membership. Again, free for you, so check it out. Moving on. During one of Donald Trump's recent appearances, he had something interesting to say about the Mueller investigation. Now, some might argue that comparing the alleged criminality of Trump to what Nixon did is like comparing apples to oranges. And apparently, Trump has latched onto that narrative.
I hope they now go and take a look at the oranges of the investigation, the beginnings of that investigation. You look at the origin of the investigation. The Mueller report, I wish, covered the oranges, how it started.
Okay, so now we're talking about oranges. And it gets funnier because you're about to see how they fix the record on this. But look, I think that his condition is deteriorating, just like George Conway said. I've maintained all along, Kellyanne Conway is sending messages through her husband, George Conway, and he is saying that his mental state is getting worse. And look, you slip up once on origins, instead of saying, see, I didn't say origins exactly right just then, but you correct yourself, you say origins, or you move on. But to say oranges three times.
Yeah, it happened three times. So the first time I listened to that clip, he said oranges the first time, and I thought to myself, maybe I heard that wrong. And you know, sometimes when you're speaking quickly or you're speaking off the cuff, we've had it happen to us where we don't enunciate something correctly and it sounds like something else. And so I was willing to give him the benefit of the doubt, but it happened three times. And then our wonderful senior producer, Brett Ehrlich, pointed out, and maybe we're reading too much into this, but I thought it was an interesting point to make. After the first time he said oranges, there was a change in his facial expression that was notable. So let's take a quick look at that.
I hope they now go and take a look at the oranges of the investigation, the beginnings of that investigation.
So I feel like he realized that didn't sound right, but he kept going, and then he said oranges two more times. So look, I don't know what his mental health condition is. I don't know if he has a mental health condition. I hate speculating about that.
I don't.
I know.
Yeah, no, look, if you're saying it's not deteriorating, he was always in this kind of bad mental shape, fair enough. But this is weird look, he has other preposterous lies he told in the same 24 hours. We're used to his crazy lies. And if you think maybe he's just doubling down like he always does, no matter what mistake he makes, he's definitely going to come in and say, no, I was right. Remember when he tweeted out Covfefe? And so a normal person would say, hey, man, I slipped up. Who cares? I deleted it. Let's move on, right? That was an obvious mistake. No, Trump came out and said, oh, I meant Covfefe. And it's actually, for the people who know, you know what it means. That doesn't mean anything. And so, so maybe he's like, oh yeah, I said oranges once. I'm gonna keep on saying it, because the word isn't origins, it's oranges. There is actually now 25% chance that MAGA guys will start using oranges instead of origins.
I don't know. I mean, I would expect anything from them at this point. But let's move on to what the official White House transcript says, because you know, there was some curiosity as to how the transcript would be written following Trump's statements. And according to the official White House transcript released almost 5 hours later, Trump didn't say oranges at all. He said oranges spelled with an I, and he only did it twice. Now, you guys watched the video. He actually did it three times. And I'm gonna give you the part of the transcript, the official transcript that's relevant here. I hope they now go and take a look at the oranges, or and then it has origins in brackets. The origins of the investigation, the beginnings of the investigation, of that investigation.
Okay, why did you do that? Write origins and move on with your life, pretending he didn't say oranges. Or maybe you write oranges, even though that's super embarrassing, the correct way. But the one thing you don't do is
make up a new word.
Make up a new word of oranges with an I that doesn't exist. Put it into the record 2 out of 3 times. What's the point? No, they're all lunatics. I mean, but they're trying to keep up with the head lunatic. The fish rots from the head down. And so they're like, all right, what would crazy man do? He might have told him to do that because he's nuts.
So I'm going to just talk about what I suspect might be going on. Look, he's on Twitter super late at night and super early in the morning. It appears that he's not sleeping much. And he's also up there in age, right? So if you're not getting sleep, you're not eating healthy, and you're not exercising, you're not doing the typical things that people do to keep themselves healthy, this is something to be concerned about. And yes, I mean, there have been flubs like this over and over and over again. And I think that it's become normalized to some extent. And now we just kind of think, oh yeah, it's Trump, it's typical Trump. But no, he's the leader of the country, right? Like, he's the person who's making some serious decisions. He's signing executive orders left and right. He's, you know, going from one policy to another, talking about shutting down borders without thinking about the ramifications of the economy or to the economy. He's, you know, threatening to completely repeal the Affordable Care Act and the protections that it has for people with pre-existing conditions. I mean, the foreign policy issues, our involvement in Yemen, like all of these things he's obviously involved in because he's the president. And so I don't know what his mental health is, but what I do know is he's not sleeping, he's not eating right, and he's not making good decisions, and he's not making any sense.
No, look, I don't mind the bad decisions. You guys voted for him, okay? That's what you signed up for. You sign up for a guy who's doesn't like people from other countries or other races, etc. We can go on and on. And you love being deplorables, and that, I get that. And you're allowed that. He won the election, right? But he's mentally unbalanced.
So I actually do want to go to another video from the same appearance. And this is where he makes a statement about his family that was absolutely not true. Take a look.
I mean, Germany honestly is not paying their fair share. I have great respect for Angela and I have great respect for the country. My father is German, right? Was German. And born in a very wonderful place in Germany. So I have a great feeling for Germany.
His dad was born in New York.
In the Bronx, right?
I forget which borough of New York. Why would you say your dad's born in Germany, in a beautiful place in Germany, a wonderful place in Germany, when he's born in New York? What's wrong with you? No, literally, what's wrong with you? And so conservatives look at this and go, man, you're bothered by Trump. He's living rent-free in your head. I got you, own the libs. Own the libs with what? Like weird lies that for no reason, that make no sense? Using the wrong words for simple words and talking about oranges. Like, are you guys proud? No, I'm telling you, man, the guy is obviously mentally unbalanced. And we're all having a conversation. I mean, this is a story right out of the books that our kids read. It's the emperor has no clothes. The whole country's pretending he's got clothes. He's obviously unbalanced. Talking about oranges and how his dad was born in a wonderful place in Germany. And we're all, and conservatives like, oh, that's right, man. He owned you guys by being mentally unbalanced. Okay. You should look in the mirror. And maybe they voted for someone just as crazy as they are. But he has significant, obvious mental issues. Mm-hmm. And by the way, I also say, again, I'll go back to the press. They point out, of course, that there are no oranges in the Mueller report, and they point out that his father was born in New York. But they're not having a conversation about the elephant in the room. If he ever had a mind at all, he has clearly lost it.
So what is the solution?
The solution is obvious. The whole country should be having a conversation about the 25th Amendment right now. And it is not a thing to be used lightly. It's not to be used for politics. I can't stand any of his policies. Not about that. He gets to decide what he wants to do with the border, with trade, even though it's monstrous and wrongheaded. That's not the point. The point is, does the president have control of his, I was about to say facilities. How's that for ironic? Faculties, okay. Mm-hmm. See, but I can tell the difference. Whereas he would say, no, it is facilities, but spelled with an E.
Well, that's because of his insanely thin skin and his inability to, like, he's got super low confidence when you think about it. He doesn't like to be wrong. And so when he is wrong, he'll go ahead and own it as if that was what he meant to do. And there's a lot more of that when we come back from the break. In the same short time period, he was at a Republican event. And during that event, he said all sorts of, well, crazy things. And you'll see when we return.
At TYT, we frequently talk about all the ways that big tech companies are taking control of our online lives, constantly monitoring us and storing and selling our data. But that doesn't mean we have to let them. It's possible to stay anonymous online and hide your data from the prying eyes of big tech. And one of the best ways is with ExpressVPN. ExpressVPN hides your IP address, making your active ID more difficult to trace and sell to advertisers. ExpressVPN also encrypts 100% of your network data to protect you from eavesdroppers and cyber criminals. And it's also easy to install. A single mouse click protects all your devices. But listen, guys, this is important. ExpressVPN is rated number one by CNET and Wired magazine. So take back control of your life online and secure your data with a top VPN solution available, ExpressVPN. And if you go to expressvpn.com/TYT, you can get 3 extra months for free with this exclusive link just for TYT fans. That's expressvpn.com/TYT. Check it out today. We hope you're enjoying this free clip from the Young Turks. If you want to get the whole show and more exclusive content while supporting independent media, become a member at tyt.com/join today. In the meantime, enjoy this free segment. Back on the Young Turks, Cenk and Anna with you guys. During the break, we got bad news about a vote in Congress. We're going to tell you about that a little bit later in the program. But let me just preview it for you guys. The resistance is a joke. There is no resistance. The Democrats will do whatever Trump asks them to do 9 out of 10 times. As long as the press isn't paying attention, they're like, oh, Donald Trump, what do you need? Done, no problem. So there's no goddamn resistance. All right, now on a lighter note, Schrifty says in the member section, orange, his favorite fruit, and skin color. So that's fair. Viscous Cree says, I want to laugh at Orange Gate so bad, but after Covfefe, the way Trump implied his tweets have secret meanings is probably how QAnon gained so much momentum. The whole party's filled with lunatics. Donald Trump went on Alex Jones' show and said it was a great show. It's not like no people didn't know what Alex Jones' show was. Mm-hmm. He knew what it was. Mm-hmm. He is a lunatic conspiracy theorist. He always has been. Cam J says, it looks like early stages of dementia or stroke. It happens when your brain replaces words without you knowing it. I don't know anything about a stroke, and I don't know if it's dementia. All I know is what I can see with my own eyes and what everyone else is denying, even though it's super obvious. The guy has mental problems, period. Okay, all right. Speaking of which, let's give you more of his mental problems.
Donald Trump was speaking at the National Republican Congressional Committee, and the event was aired live on C-SPAN. And even though it was aired live, Trump's appearance started like this.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm proud to announce so-and-so. I don't want to use names because I'll get in trouble because it's always somebody's going to leak this whole damn speech to the media, to the fake news.
Okay, so what do you do? What do you do in a situation like that? If you're one of his assistants, are you like, Mr. President, you see that giant camera in the back there? Television camera? They're leaking it right now because we agreed to do it live on TV. Okay. Unprepared. At a bare minimum, like that's the least of it, but at a bare minimum, unprepared.
We've begun with hors d'oeuvres, okay? Let's continue on with some of Trump's paranoia during his speech.
We're going to watch those vote tallies. You know, I keep hearing about the election and the various counting measures that they have. There were a lot of close elections that were, they seemed to every single one of them went Democrat. If it was close, they say the Democrat, well, there's something going on, fella. You got to, hey, you got to be a little bit more paranoid than you are, okay? Look, all these beautiful people, these beautiful Republican congressmen and women. But we have to be a little bit careful because I don't like the way the votes are being tallied. I don't like it. And you don't like it either. You just don't want to say it because you're afraid of the press.
You got to be more paranoid than you are. So as if paranoia isn't enough within, you know, America right now. I mean, I would argue that Democrats need to wake up to what's going on when it comes to, you know, these laws that are being passed in various states, when it comes to voter ID, for instance, in an effort to make it increasingly difficult for certain groups of people to vote, because these are the same people who are likely to vote for Democrats. I would look at redistricting and gerrymandering, which, you know, both parties certainly do it, but Republicans do it a lot more, which is something that a federal judge recently ruled on. I mean,
Anna, you're having a legitimate conversation with a guy who's a lunatic.
I know.
So he thinks that there was 3 million illegal votes in 2016. That they did a whole commission. None of it is true. He got the worst of the worst. Chris Kobach will make up anything. And he couldn't find any votes that were illegally done in 2016. No, the guy's a lunatic conspiracy theorist. Always has been. The Bertha theory. He had a theory that that Obama changed his grades at Columbia and Harvard. He wanted to release the transcripts. Now here's a guy who, look, if you do conspiracies all day, which he has his whole life. What was Trump University? A conspiracy, a scam. What was a charity that he ran? A conspiracy, a scam. You assume everybody else is doing a conspiracy. Would Donald Trump cheat? Would he mess with the votes? In a second, so, without blinking an eye. So he assumes if the Democrats win, they must be cheating like I would if I could.
I remember right before the 2016 election, when everyone was convinced that Hillary Clinton was gonna win, including Donald Trump, he had planted a seed of this is all rigged. And we were all kind of scared that it would lead to violence, people who would not accept the results of the election. Now, he ended up winning, obviously, but I just worry that when the 2020 election happens, and if he gets voted out of office, that he's going to be unwilling to leave. Because he's been planting these seeds over and over again, right? You should be more paranoid. I don't like how the votes are being tallied. This is rigged. Like, he's said these things before and he's saying it again. No, the results of the elections indicate that your time in office has been seen as a complete and utter disaster by a lot of people.
So this is a worst case scenario. I mean, you've got a perfect storm here. So number one, you have a guy, and this happens in a lot of countries, when the person in charge commits crimes, they then never want to leave office because they're worried that the next person will uncover their crimes. So he's dancing a jig about the Mueller report when he thought that it was on in his favor. Now, Rudy Giuliani's all over TV going, no, we can't release it. We cannot release the full report, right? Let alone forget the Mueller report, the campaign finance reform, the money laundering, and so many other things not related to the elections. So he thinks like, I don't want to leave office. If I leave office and I have no power left, and these guys continue their investigations, especially in the Southern District of New York, I'm in a lot of trouble. Then you add in the fact that he's a conspiracy theorist. And you add in the fact that he doesn't believe in reality. He denies reality day in, day out. We're gonna get to another part of that in a second. So when he gets clobbered in the next election, which he will, I think it's gonna be an absolute landslide. He's literally not going to believe it. And so he's not gonna wanna concede if he's in the election, because he's gonna be like, God, that can't be true. There's no way that that's true. And then he's gonna instigate all the MAGA guys. So again, the press here, we've gotten used to it. So, he said oranges instead of origins. He said his dad was born in Germany when his dad is born in New York. We've got one other one, crazy one coming up for you in a second. And he believes that the Democrats cheated in 40 different elections. They picked up 40 seats. So let's just talk about the close elections. So they cheated in at least 40 different congressional districts. If any other politician said that, it would be immediately disqualifying. If Obama said that, they'd be doing hearings, impeachment immediately. But we're just used to the fact that the guy is a lunatic. We should not be used to that when he's president of the United States, which leads us to the next thing he said.
Yeah. So during Donald Trump's speech before the National Republican Congressional Committee, he brought up the issue of renewable energies. And he said something that is absolutely 100% false.
Hillary wanted to put up wind. If you have a windmill anywhere near your house, congratulations. Your house just went down 75% in value. And they say the noise causes cancer. You tell me that one, okay? You know, the thing makes it so.
So there were two flat out lies in that statement. I actually thought that the windmills might lower property value. I looked into it. And there have been multiple studies done, and it shows that in some cases, property value might go down a little, but not a significant amount. So 75% is grossly overestimating how much property value would go down. But a study after study has shown that it doesn't drop significantly.
I love that we're having a legitimate conversation.
I know.
Okay,
but like,
anyway,
but
I know. You want to correct everything on the record.
I do want to, because then we're just airing his lies and then calling him lies without backing it up. One other thing is, no, this doesn't cause cancer.
That's not one other thing. No, look. He thinks that, and he's apparently said this on multiple occasions, that the noise from wind turbines causes cancer. The guy is a lunatic. Lunatic. Wind does not cause cancer. Noise does not cause cancer. No one outside of insane conspiracy theorists believe that.
So
we're having a conversation about whether this guy, well, I agree to disagree with Donald Trump. Oh, I slightly disagree with his policies. No, the guy is mentally unbalanced. He's the president of the United States. He has the codes to the nukes. He has his finger on the button, and it's a big button. No, this guy's super dangerous. I don't know if he's ever gonna leave office peaceably, but he is. If he ever had a mind, he doesn't have it anymore. Wind does not cause cancer. Wind does not cause cancer. Noise does not cause cancer. Like, that's not a funny thing that we note and we pass. Oh, that's funny. The president thinks that noise causes cancer. It's so funny. It's so funny that our president is an idiot, a total idiot. It's not funny. I mean, George Bush was incredibly stupid. George W. Bush.
Where's Mandela?
All right. Now he looks like a genius compared to this guy. And we have 40% of the country who are robots who are like, oh yeah, Donald Trump said it. It must be true. Wind causes cancer. And then they have the audacity to talk about whether Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is smart or not. Are you kidding me? You follow an utter moron, a person blindingly stupid. And let's now remember, he broke into his doctor's offices. This is in 2017 while he was president. He had his security guards break into his doctor's office and steal his own medical files. Now, that's not me saying it, that's Dr. Borsi, that's his doctor. The doctor said, they broke into my office, they stole Trump's files. It was his own security guards who did it. What's in those files? What was so damaging about Donald Trump's mental health that he had to rob his own doctor to protect those secrets? No, I don't know if it'll ever be definitively shown. Although all you have to do is turn on the TV, it's definitive already. But if the whole country at some point comes to the conclusion the president had lost his mind, I can't wait to see what the Republicans are gonna do. Oh no, No, over 90% of Republican voters back this moron, this conspiracy theorist lunatic. The Republican Party in mass has lost its mind. That's just the reality, but the mainstream press, it would be impolite. I don't want to offend anyone. I'm not going to be factually correct. I'm going to be politically correct.
So since you mentioned AOC, I do want to move on to that story because she is in the news today, mostly because people like Trump can't stop talking about her. Donald Trump, for the most part, has stayed away from mentioning Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. He doesn't go after her as aggressively as he does with other Democrats. However, while he was giving a speech in front of Republicans, the NRCC, he did mention AOC in this context. Take a look.
The Green New Deal, done by a young bartender, 29 years old. A young bartender. Wonderful young woman. The Green New Deal. You know, but it's crazy. You know, the first time I heard it, I said, that's the craziest thing. You have senators that are professionals, that you guys know, that have been there for a long time. White hair, everything perfect. And they're standing behind her and they're shaking. They're petrified of her.
So I actually love that statement for a number of different reasons. Because Trump is projecting there. So he's actually, in my opinion, accurate about what establishment politicians think of AOC, both Democrats and Republicans. And I think one of the reasons why he has not gone after her is because he knows that she's popular. And you know, he's really good at marketing. I think that the way that he has marketed himself and the way that he has somehow manipulated the media has worked to his advantage. But I think AOC is also really good at communicating with Americans, and she's very effective in doing it. So every time a right winger attacks her, she uses that to her advantage. I don't know if she does that wittingly, unwittingly, but she does it. And she's very effective on social media. And I think her popularity is starting to maybe grate on Trump's nerves. Maybe it's starting to make him a little fearful, because it's not about AOC, it's about what she represents and the ideology she represents. And I think that she is helping in pushing that message to the American people.
So look, I have no respect for Donald Trump at all, 0%. But that statement was roughly right. There are a lot of politicians quaking in their boots over Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, and it's awesome. And they should be scared. You know why? Because it's not about her. It's about the people backing her. So she doesn't have all these folks that are backing her on social media and every platform you could possibly imagine, because she isn't popular. It's because she is immensely popular. Now, this is a super important contrast. So Trump is not good at marketing. He's a one-trick pony, but the press loves rich people. Corporate media is obsessed with wealth, and they think that that's the only sign of success. So when Trump's dad handed him $413 million, whenever he did a press conference, people flocked to it. They're like, oh, you're rich. Oh, Mr. Rich Person, what do you say, Mr. Rich Person? And he would go, Trump, 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 Trump. And they'd be like, Trump, 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 Trump. Okay. Whereas Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, born with nothing.
No, I
rose from nothing.
I got it, and I agree with you. But he is good at marketing. I mean, Jane, come on, you've said it yourself. Like, don't let your hate for Trump, which I also have, blind you to the things that he is good at. The repetition, the nicknames. Like, I don't know whether or not he's like consciously coming up with these ideas. It might just be a giant accident. But he is good at creating some message, repeating it over and over again, and getting everyone to cover it.
Yeah, it's a low bar. So all he ever does is repeat things maniacally. But since he was born with a massive advantage, where the press just hung on every word he ever said. So he's like, Trump, 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 Trump. Me really good at it. No one knows wind better than I do. No one knows it. You said it causes cancer. That's right, me know wind better than everyone, right? And Democrats go, oh, okay, sorry. No, I don't know wind at all, I don't know wind at all. Well, who's gonna win that marketing contest? Anybody could win that marketing contest. So that is why when Ocasio-Cortez rises and says, hey, you know what? I'm gonna say it out loud. Wind does not cause cancer. He's an idiot. People are like, oh my God, somebody's fighting back. And that's actually true. Meanwhile, the other Democrats are still in a cave. They're in a bunker somewhere hiding. Well, so that's why we have the phenomenon we have now.
Well, in order to come out and go against what Trump is saying on, let's say, wind energy, you would have to be a strong supporter of renewable energy. And I think that the huge disadvantage, and I think this is a disadvantage that Trump recognizes, the disadvantage that Democrats have, establishment Democrats, is that for the most part, they've been pretty supportive of the system that we have now that's highly dependent on fossil fuels. So it's easy for, not, I don't want to say easy, but Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is genuine in what she says, and she's a fighter, and she's not bought off by corporations. So she is able to speak and share a message that does resonate with Americans overall. I think Americans overall at this point are very much concerned about what's happening with the environment. And her message again is resonating, and it's making both establishment Democrats fearful, but it's also making people like Trump and Republicans fearful, which is why they keep attacking her, right? And one other thing I want to mention about his statement is he felt the need to bring up the fact that she's a young bartender, right? So in that context, if you just heard that isolated from all the other commentary that we're hearing from the right wing, it might seem harmless. But they keep bringing up the fact that she was a bartender to belittle her, minimize her, and make it appear that she is some idiot who doesn't know what she's talking about. As if bartenders can't be intelligent enough to follow policy or politics or know what's going on in the world. And that is the definition of elitist. When you look down at others based on what they do for their work, and you just assume that they're not smart because they're working in some sort of customer service or food service industry. Tucker Carlson recently did it. I've seen other Republicans do it, and we'll show you examples later. But it made me think back to 2016 and how the left wing was considered elitist, when in reality, look at what Republicans think about people in the food service industry.
Well, that's because it's the same phenomenon I was talking about earlier. Republicans scream from the rooftops. Any rich person who actually wants to help you is a limousine liberal. And so they're elitist for trying to help people. Whereas the greedy sons of bitches that are our donors, well, they're great people. And so and they're salt of the earth, the Koch brothers with their $80 billion. And they bring together other rich people to reduce their own taxes and rob from the American people and deregulate, et cetera, et cetera. No, they're populist. You know why? The Koch brothers, they love freedom. They want you to be free. And what do the Democrats do? Hurry up, everybody get in the bunker. Everybody get in the bunker, let's hide. And so it's set in that the Democrats are elitist. And by the way, they further that by constantly putting people like Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi in charge. And Pelosi turns around and says, oh, I'm the best legislator. Why? Because I raise the most amount of money from rich people. Oh, gee, I wonder why it stuck when they said you're an elitist. But nobody can make the case that Ocasio-Cortez is an elitist. And that's why now they're trying to go in the opposite direction, and it's not helping them. Oh, bartender, a real American. Real American doesn't belong with us elites. Really? Okay, my guess is that's not going to play well in the elections. So you keep having at it. Speaking of the elections, Trump said one other thing in regards to her. He said, you know, about the Green New Deal, we'll have to do something, but don't do it too early, please, he said. Don't kill it because we want to be able to run against it. If they beat me with the Green New Deal, I deserve to lose. Can do, will do. So let bring it, brother. Bring it.
Let me give you some evidence to back up what you're saying, because study after study does show that the majority of Americans are supportive of the Green New Deal, especially if you take the party politics out of it, right? So one of the studies, let's go to graphic 14, a plurality of respondents, 43.7% agreed with the Green New Deal proposal as a whole, just 14.7% disagreed with it, and about 24.3% said they didn't know enough to say. So there are people who are undecided at the moment, and they can really make or break this issue. Half of the respondents supported improving water infrastructure, 21% opposed, and 29% didn't know. How do you not know that we should improve our water infrastructure? Anyway, 39% supported the Green Jobs Guarantee and 33% opposed, with 27% saying that they don't know.
And that's the most controversial part of it. And that's still more people saying that they are in favor of it than opposed to it. So overall, the Green New Deal, the first poll that came out before the Republican and mainstream media propaganda against it was at 81%. So when you actually present progressive policy to the American people, they love it. And then the mainstream media goes, oh, hey, I'm gonna agree with Donald Trump. Can you afford it? Can you afford it? Can you afford it? Can you afford it? Hey, they just passed the defense budget just now, just today, okay? The Democrats helped Donald Trump and the Republicans pass it. It's monstrous. It's $733 billion. It's more than the top 10 other countries combined. Not a single loser in the mainstream press went on a tirade about, can we afford it? Can we afford it? Can we afford it? I mean, it's now a couple hundred, at least $150 billion more than it was under Obama, when it was already monstrous. Nobody says, can we afford it? But on Green New Deal, they're like, oh, it's pulling at 81%. Let's go help the Republicans. Let's go help all the corporations. Let's go help the fossil fuel industry. Let's go help Donald Trump defeat the Green New Deal. And then you wonder why they have a marketing advantage, because the entire corporate media is on their side. Yes, from time to time, they point out the outrageous, obvious lies of Donald Trump. But overall, they help him perpetuate his talking points. But I don't care. Despite that, bring it. Because we're gonna do the Green New Deal. We're gonna get people a lot of jobs creating the right energy grid in this country. And we're gonna, it's not just a moral issue. It's gonna create more jobs. And you wanna argue against jobs? Look at these idiots. And again, the mainstream press, I blame completely. So, oh, coal, wow. There's about 50,000 coal jobs in the country, that's it. There is, I believe, about 250,000 solar jobs in the country. How come not everybody's not going solar? You have to protect the solar industry. The jobs are in solar.
Jake, no. What are you going to do when it's cloudy? When it's cloudy, you're not going to be able to watch TV.
Because he thinks when the wind stops blowing that the scientists didn't think of that. The engineers didn't think of that. And they're like, oh, damn it, the windmills. Oh, yeah, it's not, the wind's not blowing. The TV's off. And this is the idiot we're having a debate with? Bring it, brother. Bring it. If I got anything to do with it, we will absolutely annihilate Donald Trump politically in 2020. I still don't think he's gonna make it. But if he does make it to the elections and he's the nominee, it'll be fun eviscerating him. A total lunatic. And I'm gonna come after the media so goddamn hard if they keep on calling it even. Just do your jobs for once in your life.
When we come back, we will give you some of the details of that spending bill. And later, we will give you some of the mansplaining that Paul Ryan did when it came to AOC.
Oh, God, man, I got so much
frustration
built up.
You're in a mood.
Yeah, and we haven't gotten to the worst stories. We haven't, the Paul Ryan story, the defense budget story, and then the Washington Post on Bernie Sanders.
Yep.
Explosions in the next hour. Share the stream. Don't let anybody miss it.
Thanks for listening to the full episode of The Young Turks. Support our work, listen ad-free, access members-only bonus content, and more by subscribing to Apple Podcasts at apple.co/TYT. I'm your host, Cenk Uygur, and I'll see you soon.